On the show today, how nations thrive, endure, or just fall apart.
Iraq had a civil war. Northern Ireland had a civil war with Great Britain for many years. Central America had a whole series of civil wars in the 70s and 80s. The ones that are experiencing civil war today are Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Libya, Mali, Myanmar, Yemen, Sudan, South Sudan, Syria is still going on.
This is Barbara Walter.
I am a professor of political science at the University of California, San Diego.
And as you may have guessed, Barbara is an expert in civil wars.
The most prevalent form of violence in the world is civil war. And not only that, but civil wars have been increasing pretty much consistently since 1946. And we are now at a point in history where there are more civil wars going on today than at any previous time.
Barbara had been studying this for decades when, in 2017, she was invited to join an unusual CIA task force. The goal? Find a way to predict which countries are about to go to civil war. Conflict experts like Barbara made up half the task force. Data analysts made up the other half.
The data analysts asked the experts to give them all the factors that they thought could potentially matter in this path towards war. And we gave them 38 different factors. And some of those factors seemed quite obvious, whether a country was poor or whether the government heavily discriminated against one particular group, whether there was a lot of income inequality, things like that. And the data analysts went away and they came back with a model, and they said, it turns out that only two factors were highly predictive.
The two factors actually surprised Barbara.
They were not the two factors that the experts thought would be important. The first was something that political scientists called anocracy.
An anocracy is kind of like a partial democracy, neither fully democratic nor fully autocratic.
So think about Hungary today. Hungary holds elections. Hungarians gladly go to the polls. They like to vote. But basically, the outcome of that election is preordained because Viktor Orbán has essentially made it extremely difficult for any opposition party to campaign. So he controls the media. He jails opponents so that they can't campaign. So it's a partial democracy.
The second factor was whether political parties were mostly grouped around race, ethnicity, or religion.
So instead of setting up political parties based on whether you're a conservative or a liberal, communist or a capitalist, you set up your political parties based on whether you're Muslim or Christian, black or white, Catholic or Protestant. When you have these two factors, the task force considered it at high risk of political instability and violence, and it put it on a watch list. It was actually called the watch list, and we sent that watch list to the White House.
As she identified these traits in countries around the world, Barbara realized one country was missing from the conversation.
So here I was sitting in a hotel conference room in suburban Virginia four times a year, with a room full of really smart people. And we talked about countries in Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia. But we never, ever talked about the United States.
Barbara Walter continues from the TED stage.
That's because the CIA is legally not allowed to monitor the United States or its citizens, and that's exactly the way it should be. But I was a private citizen, and I had this information. And I could see that both of these factors were emerging in my own country, and they were emerging at a surprisingly fast rate. The U.S.'s democracy has been downgraded three times since 2016. 2016, it was downgraded because international election monitors had considered the 2016 election free, but not entirely fair. America's own intelligence agencies had found that the Russians had, in fact, meddled in that election. It was downgraded again in 2019 when the White House refused to comply with requests by Congress for information. And it was downgraded a final time at the end of 2020 when President Trump refused to accept his loss in the 2020 election and actively attempted to overturn the results. Between December of 2020 and early 2021, the United States was officially classified as an anocracy. If the task force had been allowed to monitor and study the United States, it likely would have considered it at high risk of political instability and political violence in December of 2020, just a few weeks before the January 6th insurrection, and it likely would have put the United States on the watch list.
So January 6th happens, and, you know, and most people I know are completely and utterly shocked, but were you?
No, not at all. If you're studying sort of the signs and risks of civil war, these tend to grow slowly over time, which means that you're seeing these underlying changes before anybody else is. And I'd given a number of talks prior to January 6th, and people thought I was hyperbolic. People thought this was ridiculous. People thought I didn't know what I was talking about. We couldn't seem to get through to the American public that cancer was growing, that unless we paid attention, it was going to get bigger and bigger and eventually take us down.
So why is this happening now? It's happening now because of demographic change. The United States is in the midst of a major transition from a country whose population is majority white to a country whose population will be majority non-white. The United States will be the first country to go through this, but others are going to follow. The people who tend to start civil wars are the groups that had once been politically dominant but are in decline. If you think back to the former Yugoslavia, Serbs had enjoyed most of the positions in government and the military throughout the Cold War for decades, but they were the ones who stood to lose the most as Yugoslavia democratized. The Serbs started that war. Iraq's Sunnis enjoyed most of the key positions in the military and in government under Saddam Hussein. But when the United States toppled Saddam Hussein, they also threw the Sunnis out of their positions. It was the Sunnis who started that war. In the United States, the rise of militias has been driven primarily by white men who see America's identity changing in ways that directly threatens their status. They were the ones who marched on the Capitol on January 6th.
I mean, so where are we now then, Barbara? Are we just waiting for the other shoe to drop?
We're in a really precarious position for a number of reasons. And, you know, I think in the United States, if we did have a civil war, it's not going to look like the 1860s version of a civil war. It's going to be more decentralized. It's going to be violence targeted at civilians, at opposition leaders. How it usually starts is every group has more moderate members and more extreme members. The extremists in any group are usually marginalized and ignored. And that's because they're usually a tiny minority. Mm. And what happens in situations like this, where things are already tense, where truth is increasingly hard to discern, this is how you often see the very first stages of real sustained violence.
So how do we fix things? Because this country has had a civil war and we did come back from that. Is it possible to mend these extremely frayed relationships?
I think probably the single easiest thing that we could do to shore up our democracy is to regulate social media. Our information environment is increasingly toxic. It increasingly pushes out the most extreme material, increasing distrust in democracy, perpetrating misinformation and disinformation in ways that have had really negative societal effects. I also think that help is going to have to come from the bottom up and from us as citizens. We have to participate more in our democracy. We have to get involved. We have to vote more. If you look at Tennessee, for example, most people think of Tennessee as a deep, deep red state. But if you look at, for example, primaries in Tennessee, only about 20% of eligible voters in Tennessee vote in any given primary. Mm. And Tennessee is not unusual. 80% of eligible voters are standing on the sidelines. And now imagine state by state, if all of those people actually vote, the outcome of those elections will be very, very different. Mm. Full, healthy democracies do not experience civil war, period.
I want to ask you, you have done so much research on this, including visiting countries that were starting to democratize when the other shoe did drop and the country fell into a civil war, including Bosnia. You interviewed a woman named Barina Kovac from Sarajevo who had a chilling story.
Gosh, I get teary every time I think about it. So Barina Kovac was a woman who lived in Sarajevo in the 1990s with her husband. They were a young couple. They were both professionals. I had a series of interviews with her, and I said, Barina, tell me about the months and weeks leading up to the outbreak of war. Tell me when you knew something was happening. And she said, we had no idea. We were a young couple. We were going to work. We were having weekend getaways. We didn't think that anything bad could happen here. And then she started to see her friends changing. And suddenly, at a wedding where they were all together, one of her friends told them to stop singing Muslim songs. And she's just like, nobody ever thought of them as Muslim songs. They were just, you know, wedding songs that we would sing in these events. And she's like, wow, you could feel something shifting. And she said then one night, it was in 1992, she was at home with her newborn son, and suddenly the lights went off. And she said, and then you started to hear machine gun fire. Mm. And that's how the siege of Sarajevo started. Everybody I've talked to who's lived through a civil war has said the same thing. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. Mm. And that's because they didn't understand what the big signs were. And I think that's what really I'm trying to do here is just to help people see the early signs, see the early steps that countries take as they go down this terrible path, and to tell them that if you know the early signs, there's time to turn it around. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to get involved and basically demand change, because otherwise you will lose your democracy. And the only way to get it back after you lose it is going to be to fight for it.
Barbara Walter is a professor of political science at the University of California, San Diego. She's the author of How Civil Wars Start and How to Stop Them. You can see her full talk at TED.com. On the show today, What Topples Democracies? I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.